Right, we'll pray, and then we'll sing one or two of them.
Amen.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. These are hot day, Lord, and I pray your good hand upon us as we take this time around your word. Please bless us, Lord. Anybody else that's gathered together anywhere in the world around your word, I pray your blessing, your good hand upon them too. We've got a teaching, a wee bit of straightening out, a wee bit of chastening, a wee bit of comforting, Lord. You know our needs. Please supply them this night. And I pray you too, Lord, for those that are just dead set against you, that you would oppose them, that you would reason with them, that you would speak to them, that you would show them the error of their ways. And even those, Lord, that have strayed, I pray the same for them as well. And Lord, pray a good hand upon us as well. Just because we're here right now doesn't mean there's no possibility of us losing the plot and taking the head staggered. I pray, Lord, please, that you will not be done with us out. Bless our time together, Lord, and our praises and prayer, and our tithes, and our offerings, and our time together, like I said that, and the preaching of your word. We love you and thank you, Lord. Amen. Hey, let's take our big books. Big books. Hymn number 150 to start with. 150. I feel it's found a resting place. Good old of mine anyway.
Thank you.
Stephen's reading this from the book of John, John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken of you. Abide in me, and I in you. But the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. As the Father hath loved me, so hath I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. The world hate you, we know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. They have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. But I have not done among them the works which none other man did. They have not had sin, but now they have both seen and hate both me and my Father. For this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hate me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Amen.
And some good verses. That was actually a memory chapter of ours a number of years back. One of the verses, very familiar. Alright, just want to remind everybody about the wee yellow prayer list. Please do make sure you have one. Just a couple of things that are not on the prayer list, but you probably remember. Please do pray for Ling, as she and Dr. Shang are travelling.
And please do pray for the McLean family, mourning the loss of loved ones. That's neighbours of Wills. And please do pray for the Battersby family. That was a wee fella, Archie, who I think there was a sort of a nationwide petition was sent out to try and keep him on life support after I think he was brain dead. So please do pray for the Battersby family. There's a lot going on in the world as well. Please do pray for Donald Trump and his family are being severely put upon by the American government for no reason other than they do the right things and make the government look bad. But there's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now. Please do pray for all of our governments. I'm sure we probably, if you ever look at pictures of presidents whenever they begin their presidency and whenever they finish, invariably they have gone white or sporting a lot of grey hairs after their time there. Who knows what they see, and only the Lord knows the shenanigans they get up to. So please do pray for our presidents. Pray the Lord's will be done, because I'm sure if it was our will to be done, there'd be a lot fewer people in the world. I think that's about that. Anything else? Pray for us. We're going to see my dad Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning. So we would appreciate your prayers there as well. Deaf hands and clear eyes, have a bit of electrical work to do for him. So I'm planning on keeping this hairstyle and not getting a frizzy stand in the end here. Stand up on its end hairstyle. But glad we still have him. Don't mind doing it when it's nice to go down and see him. So please do pray about that. I think that's about that. I know we all have private prayer requests. The Lord knows what's going on. Stephen has a sore mouth, he says. Will is working, he says. Pat and Steve's not well. And we all have things that are going on in our lives. The Lord knows. And assuming those are our private prayer requests. But, I think that's it. Nothing else is in a strategy. Okay. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the freedom to come before you, Lord, to just to be able to bear our souls and to just deliver all the things that are bothering us and hurting us, Lord, at your feet, and cling to that promise that the peace that passeth all understanding will follow soon afterwards. You know everything that's going on in the world, Lord, and you know who needs to be opposed. You know, Lord, who needs to be blessed and to be comforted. You know our private prayer requests and the paths that we have set before us at this particular time in our lives. And I pray for each one of our requests. For loved ones that need to get saved or even get right with you. For the run of the church, for the vehicles, for the work that's done, for the wee bit that's still to do. Lord, there's so much. But I pray for the next 2 weeks that in a fortnight's time we will have a good few more folks in here just to share this this brand spanking new building, Lord. Please bless us now, Lord, as we take a wee bit more time saying your praises and around your word. And Lord, again, you know, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your patience and long suffering. And Lord, please be one of our number this evening. We love you and praise you. We ask this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, Father. Amen. Amen. Right, some books again. I'm going to take the wee ones this time, and go to hymn number 19. Hymn number 19 in the wee black books. God be with you till we meet again. Probably sing this at the end, but it's a good hymn.
Thank you.
You still got another song in you? Mm-hmm. Good job. Hymn number 75. From Jordan Stormy Banks. Hymn number 75, of course, the big books. From Jordan Stormy Banks, if you're fit, let's stand with these. Year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect.
For them would they not cease to have been offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the body of the book that's written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. That's the testament. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, and henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Amen. Our text is going to be our very first verse, but there's a lot of good thoughts in the rest of that portion of God's Word. We'll just take a minute to run through them, and then we will spend a little bit of time on the subject of shadows and portents. Now let's pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, please put your good hand upon us and upon our brains. That they're probably a bit addled with heat and dust and pollen and everything else that's going on around the world. Lord, this is a wee bit aside from the world, and we pray that you would be keep us company this evening. You would just explain to us, Lord, and comfort us and strengthen us and just open our understanding of the Scripture. Thank you for loving us and for all the patience you have for us, Lord, and the many chances you've given us that it's never taken for granted or presumed upon. Bless us now, Lord, in this next half an hour or so, and we leave these things at your feet and ask them in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Now, we'll come back to the first verse in a little bit, but basically Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us one or two things. It tells us the commandments are wonderful. But they're not amazing, they're wonderful. The law is good, but it's not good enough to take you to heaven. There was one sacrifice made for sins, and we all know that was Christ on the cross. And him giving his life, that was sufficient. That's what the Word of God says about sacrifice and offerings that wouldest not, because God doesn't want bulls and goats and their blood sprinkled on the altar and this, that, and the other. But God provided for us a sacrifice in His Son, Christ Jesus, so He prepared a body for Him. And it says a number of times that all the things that men can offer God are not good enough. And it says that right the way through. And even after Jesus had made these sacrifices, in verses 11 it says, there's still men that stand making the same sacrifice. And here is news for them, they can never take away sins. And if you're wondering, that is quite literally a picture of the Catholic Church and the Episcopalian Church, that's the Church of Ireland, that talk about a priest being able to break God's body again and offer up Christ's broken body and His blood again and again and again and again. I think they call it what? Transubstantiation of the wafer and the wine into the very body and very blood of Jesus. And the Bible plainly says these can never take away sins. But Jesus can. And it's worth remembering that. Only Jesus saves. Not our works, not the works of somebody else on our behalf. It's only faith in Christ that saves. Now, having said all that, I want to go back to the wee bit, first verse, that talks about shadows. Shadows and portents. It says the law having a shadow of good things to come. In other words, all the stuff in the Old Testament, the first five books of the Bible, containing the 616 or more commands and statutes and laws that God set out for the children of Israel to help them physically, to help them with their food use, to help them whenever it comes to having babies, to help them whenever it comes to building houses, and the moral law, the Ten Commandments, where it tells you not to be killing people or being immoral or using bad language and being good to your mommy and daddy if you want a long life. Those are good things. It says it has a shadow of good things. However, it is not the good thing. It says it has a shadow, but it is not the very image of those things. The law is great. And in the law you will find that God explained to the children of Israel, if you do this, then you have to come to the altar and offer this as a sacrifice. One of the ones that always sticks with me is that whenever a mother had a baby, not a sinful thing, but she was commanded to come to the altar with a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons as a sin offer for having a baby. Those are the laws that God put down. I'm sure there's a reason for it, and when you look back and you spend a bit of time studying them, you can see the reason why. But it's to show us that we are constantly in need of a Saviour. Now you can read away at the Bible, especially the Ten Commandments, and people say, I've never killed anybody. I've never stolen stuff. Sure, I've taken biscuits or buns whenever my mother wasn't looking. I was supposed to leave those for my dad or for company. Or I took a pencil home from work. But sure, it's only a pencil. Technically. No, in actuality, you've stolen it. The law shows us where we are wrong. And the law shows us the restitution that must be made. But the law also is a set of rails whereby everybody can get a fair shake. It's the rules laid down by God that enable everybody living together to observe the law and be treated equally, be treated fairly. It's not like some of the laws at the moment seem to prefer some people over other people. In America right now, if you're black and you run to a shop, as long as you steal less than $1,000 worth of goods, you'll not be prosecuted in New York State. And that's wonderful. I wonder how that would work for a white person from Northern Ireland. I'm not going to put it to the test. The law also says that if you subscribe to a certain political mindset, that you can quite literally get away with murder. And we have the incumbent president's son, who is nothing but a fornicating, drug-using liar, thief, and possibly murderer, who has been shown to be all of these things, has been left untouched by the law. And his father is the same in the employ of the Chinese government, the Russian government, the Ukrainian government. No lawyer, no judge is even looking at him. But they will land, and I'm not saying any one person's better than another, but they will land at President Trump's home with 30 plus FBI agents because he may have taken a piece of paper home that he wasn't supposed to. So there are laws in this world that are abused and upheld against one sort of people, but not upheld against another sort of people. And this is doing a lot to do people's heads. And God's laws are different. There's nowhere that it says, if you're black, these laws don't apply to you. Or if you're white, these laws do apply to you. If you're homosexual, these laws don't apply to you. If you're heterosexual, these laws do apply to you. It doesn't say that. It says they all apply to everybody. And if you follow them, it'll be grand. Keep your hands in your own stuff. Treat people right. Be respectful to God, turn up at church, learn a bit about the Bible. Did you know 40 or 50 years ago when I was coming up, people knew more about the Bible? And even lost people, the Bible actually affected. It kept them respectful. But the law is only a shadow. It's like a little picture. It's a little portent things that God has to come. Anyway, I wanted to give you the extent of the reach of God and his application of the law. In the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ, when speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, this is what he said. You know what the law says. He was saying to them, you know what the law says. If you killed somebody, your life is forfeit. You're in danger of judgment. But this is the way God looks at it. He says, if you're angry with someone without a cause, you're in danger of judgment. Because that's like murder in God's eye. So it's not going to be our deeds, and not even our words. It's going to be our thoughts. The thoughts and the desires that we entertain in our heads that will come up for judgment. It also says that, you remember adultery, he said to the scribes and the Pharisees, he says, of course we do. If any man commits adultery, the man and the woman are to be stoned to death. Jesus said, that's correct. But the way God looks at it is, if you look on a woman to lust after them in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. And likewise for women to look upon men to lust after them in their heart, they're guilty of adultery in God's eyes. That's the standard. It's not just what we do, it's what we have going on in our heads that's going to be brought into judgment. And how we let that shape our lives. That is going to be the standard by which God judges everybody in the face of the world. And if we were completely honest, if all of our thoughts were brought up for review, I think, honestly, we'd all be guilty. Because in our thoughts and in our minds, there's a trail of dead bodies of all the people that have offended us and annoyed us. There's a big stack of all the stuff we wanted but can't afford but still drool over. And all the thrills and pleasures that we lust after but that we would never indulge in, they're all there in our heads. And those are the things that mark us as guilty sinners. Mark us as guilty sinners in need of an amazing, wonderful, omnipotent Savior. And that is what Jesus came to be. As far as shadows and portents come, this message is a bit of hope it's a bit like a curry or a casserole. It's been a long time coming. It's been simmering for a while, and various thoughts and things have gone into the making up of it, and I hope they'll be a help to you. As far as shadows and portents come, the things in this earth, it says in Romans 1 and chapter 20, the invisible things of him are clearly seen through the creation of the earth. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, the way things work in this world is a shadow or portent of how things work in heaven. Now, that is supposed to be, in fact, the Lord even used the relationship between a husband and a wife. The Bible says, wives, love your husbands as Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. The Bible just says, wives, love your husbands. That's what it says, love your husbands. The husband is tasked with the sacrifice of his very life for the protection, for the saving of his family, if push come to shove, in exactly the same way that Jesus gave his life for his bride, the bride of Christ, which is, well, anybody that wants to get saved. Whenever we come into the house of God, we expect to sing hymns, we expect to be involved in prayers, we expect to give, to keep the lights on, to keep the home fire's burning. And again, if anybody has a recipe for turning fresh air and tap water into meat, potatoes and two veg, I'll take it. Until then, we need money to keep the wheels of religion, if you want to put it, turning. The wheels of the car turning even. We expect to behave in a certain way. We expect a certain standard of dress. We don't want bikinis and
bare behinds and whatnot coming into church, and we don't need cut-off shirts and muscle shirts. Short sleeves are good. If you've got muscly forearms, great, man. That's wonderful. But that's not what we're here for. Whenever we open the Bible, we expect a certain, there's a certain way of doing things. One person speaks and everybody listens. It's the way it's supposed to be. God is the one that speaks and we're supposed to listen to him. And we're supposed to be respectful. We're supposed to be here whenever things are happening. And people don't actually realize that it takes a bit. It's only a certain character that can actually turn up for real gospel preaching. I'm going to tell you now that lost people can turn up their whole lives at a non-gospel preachers. They can turn up lost in their mother's arms, and they can leave lost in a casket and be there every week, maybe multiple times a week, for their whole life, because the gospel is not preached, because there is no challenge, and because people are never reminded that it's not up to God what you do, it's up to you what you do. You will receive the rewards for it, or you will receive the consequences for your poor actions, your poor choices. Well, if you were a lost man coming in here, and you liked a wee cigarette, and I started telling you about the verses, is it in Hebrews where it talks about your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit, and him that defileth it, God will destroy? Or if you like a wee drink, and I remind you of Psalm 20 and verse 1 that says that wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging. And anybody that thinks it's okay, the Bible says that whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Or if you think it's okay to go out and spend the night in a stranger's bed, and I start reading about Ecclesiastes or Proverbs where it talks about a strange woman being like a deep ditch. Once you get involved in that, there's no getting out of it again. Strange woman being, of course, a harlot or a prostitute, a loose woman. Do you think people who indulge in these things are going to want to come into a building where they hear that these things are wrong? Do you think lost people are going to want to turn up in church and be reminded every week of sin and judgment to come? Of course they're not. And the sad thing about it is there's somebody with a keen marketing eye who's found out that a watered-down, watery, slapdash, compromised version of the scriptures is something that the people will go for and pay for. And that's why there's four of us here tonight and not 54 here tonight. Because people don't want to be reminded of their sin. Do you think a lost man that loves doing all of those things would love to come here and literally feel like I was pointing my finger at them every time I opened my mouth? What do you think they'd be thinking? A friend that comes on a favor after a lot of pleading. Oh my goodness, if he said, is he going to remind me now that drinking's bad? Is he going to remind me that smoking's bad? Is he going to remind me that stealing stuff's bad? Is he going to remind me that even I and up that wee girl that was walking down the road half-dressed is bad? My goodness, everything that I do and everything that I am is sinful. I hate it. And now we're supposed to sing songs and tell the guy who's the author of the book how wonderful he is. You must be joking. Reminded again of the story back in the south of America. I think there must have been a time when the preaching of the gospel and gambling was illegal in dry ground, and they had a riverboat with a gospel preacher on it and a riverboat with a casino on it, and two acquaintances, that one was a Christian and one was an incorrigible gambler and drinker. They were rushing to get to their boats, and they both ended up on the wrong boat. And whenever they spoke later, after the boats came back to the shore, they both agreed that they had both been in hell. Why should I spend my time coming to a building where I'm reminded that everything I do is wrong? Don't do everything that's wrong, but people are not like that.
people want to be told that everything's okay. You're all right. Just do your best. It's not going to work. Do you think someone that hates coming to church, that hates the thought of singing those old songs, the words are even catching in their throat, it sickens them that much, do you think that they are going to enjoy heaven? Let's stop for a moment. When you go to heaven, this is for Christians, you get a new body. Does anyone recall to mind the state of Jesus whenever he was laid to rest in the tomb? His beard was plucked off. He was whipped with reeds in the face and they raised welts, and then they grabbed handfuls of his hair and ripped chunks off of his face. He had puncture wounds all around his head where they jammed the crown of thorns on. He had huge puncture wounds in his hands and his feet where they nailed him to the cross. He had a huge spear wound in his side that pierced his heart, and blood and water came out, showing the heart failure from his 6+ hours on the cross. His back was a bloody, tattered mess where they scourged him. What did he look like when his disciples saw him? Completely restored, except for the marks of the cross on his hands and his feet, and the spear wound in his side. Completely restored. The sad thing about it is, the only one that deserves to be spotless through the end of the ages of eternity is the only one that's going to be marked through the end of the ages of eternity because of yours and my sins. Bible says when we see him next, we'll be like him. We'll have glorified bodies. No sin nature. You know the wee bitty that gets uptight whenever I mention your sin? Who does he think he's talking about? Talking about smoking, drinking, lying, cheating, stealing, murdering, whatever else it is. Who does he think he is? That bit will be gone. You see the bit that's all selfish, that just wants what you... That bit will be gone. You see the bit that loves the Lord and takes joy in the church, the bit of you that loves reading the Bible or loves time in God's presence, that's the bit that will be left. In heaven, the Bible says, we'll walk the streets of gold. We will see the saints, all of the saints that have ever lived, all the little babies that were murdered in their mother's wombs. We'll see them all in their glorified bodies, perfect. Just like us. There'll be no pubs. Nowhere selling cigarettes or dirty magazines. Nowhere selling drugs. There'll be no street corners with wee girls selling their bodies. There'll be none of that. It'll be like, has anyone ever walked down the main street in Bunkrana? I took a minister to it many, many years ago. And I think down both sides there was like a half a dozen or more pubs. All you had to do was take a step out a little bit and you could see pub sign, pub sign, pub sign, pub sign, pub sign. People, this is great. In heaven it'll be like church, 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 church. In heaven, we will get to sing with perfect voices. The Bible talks about a huge host singing God's praises. And I don't know about you, but it is wonderful to be with a bunch of folks singing the same song. Not why the old saying goes about being on the same, singing from the same sheet. We get to sing God's praises. We get to see Jesus face to face. Instead of turning up at church a couple of times a week for a half an hour or a 45-minute sermon, we'll get to sit for years and listen to Jesus Christ show us how intricately created his word was and how it intertwined history. You might even get to look at history and see how all the things that Jesus said happen. And if you can't stick a message in prophecy imperfectly put together by an imperfect person with all his own quirks, but still struggling to put Jesus first, that pretty much should account for all of us.
You are not going to enjoy God Almighty standing and expounding clearly and perfectly His Word. You're not going to want to see Jesus as He stands with His hands wide open. You're not going to want to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," because you'll know you're not. You'll not want to see Christians everywhere you look because you can't stick them in this world now. You can't stick church for half an hour in this world, 2 or 3 times a week, well, an hour and a half, 2 or 3 times a week. You are not going to be able to stick heaven forever, I guarantee you. Whenever you get saved, you let go of that sin nature, you let go of your sins, but you still have your sin nature. And someday, whenever you're standing in heaven, that sin nature will be gone too. Friends, there are so many things in this world that are shadows and portents. Can you imagine in heaven think, "Oh Lord, that's right. That's how that prophecy fits into place. And I'm going to have to ask him about some of the ones in Daniel because they're beyond me right now, unless you happen to be a student of history. But I'm looking forward to getting every I dotted and every T crossed. I enjoy hearing about biblical prophecy in this world. I am sure I will enjoy it in heaven. I enjoy trying to sing those old hymns. And I am looking forward to be able to sing without my voice cracking in heaven." Because all the things in this world, they're just a shadow of what's to come. It saddens me many times to see how many people took the COVID pandemic as an excuse to step out of church and stay. "Oh, I can't come to church because excuse number one, or excuse number two, or excuse number three, or 4 or 5 or 6. I have heard so many that some of them would actually make you laugh. Friends, there's going to be no excuses whenever you stand in front of God. God loves each and every one of us, and He wants the very best for us. A lot of times, the Lord has given us things to look out for. Says this world is just a template for how things are going to work in heaven. But He also said, things that's happening in this world, and He recorded them in His Bible, are there so that you can know that it's very close to the time, and it's maybe time you give yourself a shake and start either get yourself saved or you start living right for Jesus. That's a portent, or a shadow of things to come. And the shadow of things to come there, the labor pains of the earth, the way things are going right now in the world, things that we do have an influence over, but then there's things that we don't have any influence over, like earthquakes and things like that. If we were really determined as a creature to be good to our fellow man and to bring the gospel everywhere, knowing full well from history that those that love the Lord and follow His example are the ones that do the best, the companies that do the best. My goodness. The world would be a different place and the Lord would have to put back His coming back for a few hundred years or maybe a handful of generations. But that's not what we're like. Have you ever seen the movies? One that's maybe a bit scary. And they show you a shadow on a wall. And everybody thinks it's either the bad guy, it's the dinosaur, or it's the monster coming to eat them. And that's what the Lord has given us in His Word. He's given us the shadows of things to come. All of the troubles, all of the woes that are going to hit this world, get a wee taste of them. And you know what, friends? You don't really want to be here when they all kick off. You really don't. The only way to avoid them is to make sure you're home in heaven. Repent of your sins and trust in Christ as your Savior. And I would urge you, you're not saved to get saved, and if you are saved, start living a wee bit closer to God. Shall we do four things? That's me. I'm done. Close your Bibles, pick up our hymn books, sing a little song, and then we'll be dismissed. Let's do 138, the Haven of Rest. 138, the wee book, the big books, the Haven of Rest. Thank you.
Let's be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this little bit of time around your word. I pray, please, Lord, that you put your good hand upon us and bless us as we go our separate ways. We just thank you for loving us, Lord, and for saving us. Lord, we leave our private prayer requests and the souls and the deeds that are on the prayer list at your feet. Pray that you would grant them according to your will. Pray for our travels, for Lynn's travels, for Norma, for Charlotte, Lord, as they head home. Lord, we just love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. We're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a little bit.